Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
You are correct, TGIF people. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me on this wonderful Friday. The weekend is upon us, finally.
Finally.
It is great for you all to be here hanging out with me today. Of course, we have a ton of stuff, as always, to get to. And you can call in here if you like and talk to me. The phone number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620, and of course, as always, for your convenience, the chat room is open. If you want to go that route, you can do that. And of course, hello and TGIF to all of my peeps at Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Glad you're all listening. Glad you're all hanging out and chilling with me on this Friday. Wow, we've got so much stuff to get into today. I don't even know that I'm going to get into it all, but we'll try to cram it in as best I can. But of course, I have a lot of Donald Trump news because, well, there's been a lot of stuff going on with Donald Trump here in the past two, 3 days or so. I heard somebody say last night that they thought that this has been a really good week for Trump, and I would agree with them. I think it has too. I think it's been a great week. Where do I even begin? Well, I will begin, first of all, by saying that I'll umbrella it all by saying that right now as we speak that Donald Trump is in Louisiana, and he is surveying flood damage and meeting, obviously, with flood victims and talking to people there. And he's just on the ground just kind of seeing what's going on, seeing what is transpiring. And where is the president, you might ask? Where is the president, you might ask? Well, I will tell you, the president, here's a shock. The president's playing golf. I know, it never happens, does it? Yeah, the president's playing golf. And Hillary Clinton is, well, you know, it's the weekend, and apparently Hillary doesn't work weekends anymore. And so she has taken the weekend off to rest, and we'll also talk about that little tidbit too, because her health is becoming an issue in this campaign. And I was thinking the other day, you know, for all of the talk about Donald Trump not releasing his tax records yet, and I believe he says the reason that he hasn't done it is because of some sort of audit or something that's been going on, but and because Hillary Clinton has offered up her own tax records, which probably belong, if they were in the library, they'd probably belong in the fiction section. Here's what I'm thinking, and like I said, I'm going to get into this a little bit later, that Hillary's health, because we've all seen the coughing fits and the weirdness that is going on with her right now, and we've seen neurologists and doctors and people like that on all over TV talking about possibly her health. Here's what I think that Donald Trump ought to do. I think that Donald Trump ought to release his medical records. You want to talk about tax records? Okay, let's talk about tax records. Maybe he really can't for reasons such as an audit going on or something like that. Maybe he can't release them right now. Release your health records, because then that, I don't know, do we think that would prompt the lamestream media, those sycophants, those morons in the media, in the mainstream media, to turn to Hillary and say, well, where are yours? Probably not. They would probably cover for her, but I think it would be a great thing to do, because maybe they wouldn't ask, but a lot of other people would say, okay, Trump's released his medical records. Now, where are yours, Hillary? So personally, I think that's what he ought to do in response to the whole tax records thing. But as of today, this morning, Trump's former campaign manager, Paul's now former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, has tendered his resignation with the Trump campaign. This is a report from Newsmax, and it does in fact say that veteran political operative Paul Manafort, who is credited with some redesign of the Trump campaign right around convention time last month, it's making this look like that he was pushed aside. You know, we don't know. We don't know what has gone on in the inner workings of the Trump campaign. That he resigned this morning, and there has been some reports come out about some possible ties with Ukrainian leaders and allies of Russian President Vladimir Putin. The statement from the Trump campaign is this, quote, "This morning, Paul Manafort offered, and I accepted, his resignation from the campaign." This is a statement from Donald Trump. "I am very appreciative for his great work in helping to get us where we are today, and in particular, his work guiding us through the delegate and convention process. Paul is a true professional, and I wish him the greatest success," unquote. Of course, this comes just a day or so after it was announced that former Breitbart head, the chief executive officer of Breitbart News, Stephen Bannon, was tapped to come in and be the what is his title now? I believe it's chief executive officer of the Trump campaign. And pollster Kellyanne Conway, who we've all seen many a time on Fox News, she's great. She's very outspoken. She is a firecracker, and I think that she will be a very, very welcome addition to the Trump campaign. She has been tapped to be his campaign manager. And the report about Manafort goes on to say that, well, you know, everybody in the media is calling it, oh, it's a big shakeup. It's a big shakeup in the Trump campaign. Well, no, I think actually that Kellyanne Conway herself probably put it best when she said that it was not a shakeup, but a beef up. And the quote from her is that she says the change was necessary because quote, right now is a busy home stretch ahead of the the campaign senior roles need to be beefed up, so we are dividing and conquering. There is a great deal to do. And she's absolutely right. We are, what, 80 days roughly out from this presidential election, and there is absolutely a great deal to do. Again, Manafort's resignation comes a day after the Associated Press reported that confidential emails from Manafort's firm contradicted his claims that he had never lobbied on behalf of Ukrainian political figures in the U.S. So, you know what? The last thing that the Trump campaign needs is an email scandal. Don't we have enough of that going on elsewhere, shall we say, on the other side of the aisle? But they really don't need anything like an email scandal to be going on. It says that emails between Manafort's deputy, Rick Gates, who was also a top Trump advisor, and the lobbying firm Mercury LLC showed that Manafort's firm directly orchestrated a covert Washington lobbying operation on behalf of Ukraine's then-ruling political party. It goes on to say that also Friday, Ukrainian anti-corruption investigators released copies of handwritten ledgers detailing possible cash payments from Ukrainian political figures to Manafort totaling more than $12 billion. Manafort has denied receiving any of these payments. It also goes on, NBC had reported, take that for what it is, on Thursday that Manafort's connections included one person with alleged ties to organized crime. A connection foreign policy expert said raised questions about statements Trump had made praising Russian President Vladimir Putin as a, quote, leader in his campaign speeches. I'm assuming that by that statement that means that they are speculating as to whether or not Paul Manafort had organized crime connections to Russian organized crime. According to court records, Manafort's firm was involved with Ukrainian Dmytro Firtash in a plan for redeveloping the Drake, a notable New York hotel. Firtash's company had planned to invest more than $100 million of the $850 million project, according to records. Firtash, though, has admitted getting his start through his connections with a Russian crime lord. The deal eventually fell through, and Manafort has denied having a, quote, business relationship with Firtash. This report from Newsmax ends up saying that a person who was described as a close confidant of Paul Manafort told the Washington Post that Manafort is leaving on good terms and plans to continue supporting Donald Trump. Kellyanne Conway this week told CNN that the campaign would focus more on its message while allowing Trump to be, quote, comfortable being in his own skin, unquote, a stance the New York businessman has embraced while vowing that he doesn't plan to change a strategy that led to his primary election win over a large field of Republican politicians. So, first of all, again, I think that Kellyanne Conway, and you know what, when I heard the announcement of Kellyanne Conway becoming Trump's campaign manager, I thought for a minute, and I thought, well, wait a minute, Donald Trump doesn't like women. Why would he nominate Kellyanne Conway as his campaign manager if he doesn't like women? So actually, it was a brilliant move on Trump's part for several reasons. One, Kellyanne Conway is from, by all accounts, a very well respected pollster. She's very experienced. She has a lot of political and campaign experience. And again, like I said, I think she is a fantastic. She's very outspoken. And she is going to be a fantastic addition to the Trump campaign. But the other thing, too, with that is that I have not looked at a lot of the poll numbers when they're broken down by demographics, you know, when you're talking about young college-age women versus older white men versus, you know, that kind of thing. But the reports are always the same, that Trump's poll numbers are horrible among young women. And so I think with the addition of Kellyanne Conway, that could change some things, because people may see that and say, hey, and again, not only that, but I believe I saw yesterday that by Kellyanne Conway becoming Trump's campaign manager, she is the first woman to be the campaign manager of a major political campaign in United States history. So that's fantastic. And I think that needs to be brought out more. And I think people need to talk about that more. And again, she is a very welcome addition to the Trump campaign. I don't know that people know a whole lot about Steve Bannon. Like I said, he was the chief executive officer of Breitbart News. And, a lot of people are saying that this shakeup, again, you know what, I'm not going to use that term shakeup, because I agree with Kellyanne Conway. I don't think it's a shakeup. I think it's a beef up. We're 80 days out of an election. And for the most part, the conventional wisdom usually says that for the most part, aside from political geeks and wonks such as myself, that most people, most average people, really don't start paying attention to something important as a presidential election until after Labor Day. So you want to get everything in place. You want to get all your ducks in a row by Labor Day, because if you want to go with that conventional wisdom and think, okay, average Americans really aren't paying that much attention to this until after Labor Day. They're still going on vacation. They're still getting their kids back in school, whatever it is. You want to have everything up and running and all of your ducks in a row, everything the way you want it to be, as soon as Labor Day hits, and then bam. And she's absolutely right. We're getting into a very important home stretch here. But the statement from Donald Trump said, quote, I've known both of them for a long time. They're terrific people. They're winners. They're champs, and we need to win it. This was a phone interview that Donald Trump did with the Associated Press on Wednesday of this week. And goes on to say that in tapping Bannon for a top campaign role, Trump is doubling down on his outsider appeal rather than appeasing more traditional Republicans. The conservative Breitbart figure has been a cheerleader for Trump's campaign for months and was critical of Republican leaders, including Paul Ryan. Bannon is a former Goldman Sachs banker, but does not bring presidential campaign experience to Trump's White House bid. Kellyanne Conway joined Trump's campaign earlier this year as a senior advisor. A longtime Republican strategist and pollster, she also has close ties to Indiana Governor Mike Pence, who is the vice presidential nominee. And again, Kellyanne Conway called all of these moves, quote, an expansion at a critical time in the home stretch. And they are also, the Trump campaign is going to start airing their first television ads next week in Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. And a statement from the, this is a statement. If anybody has not seen the speech that Donald Trump gave on Wednesday, I think it was on Wednesday, Tuesday, I'm sorry, in Wisconsin, go online and look at it because it was fantastic. In the speech, Trump accused Clinton of, quote, bigotry and being against the police, claiming that she and other Democrats have betrayed the African-American community and pandered for votes. We reject the bigotry of Hillary Clinton, which panders to and talks down to communities of color and sees them only as votes. That's all they care about. That was a quote from several quotes from his speech given in Wisconsin this week. And the response from Hillary Clinton's campaign was, quote, with each passing Trump attack, it becomes clearer that his strategy is just to say about Hillary Clinton what's true of himself. When people started saying he was temperamentally unfit, he called Hillary the same. When his ties to the Kremlin came under scrutiny, he absurdly claimed that Hillary was the one who was too close to Putin. Now he's accusing her of bigoted remarks. We think the American people will know which candidate is guilty of the change. This was a, who is the spokesman for the Clinton campaign? Jennifer Palmieri was the spokesman who put out that statement from Hillary Clinton's campaign. But so there is some beefing up of the Trump campaign going on, and I think that that can only be a good thing. And as I said, Donald Trump is in Louisiana today, and I'm going to take a short break. When I come back, we will talk about Donald Trump being in Louisiana, and we will also talk about why perhaps President Obama is not. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, one and all, everybody, for hanging out with me today. Thank you, one and all, for listening on Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Stay in your seats. I'll be right back.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, and you are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills. And you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room.
Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is death beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
We are back. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me today. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. That's right. It is your weekly dose of conservative wickedness. I know, it's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Well, you know, it's good to be unique. And that's what we do here. We try to be unique. And want to give a big shout out to everybody listening on Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Thank you guys. Thanks everybody for chilling out and listening today. TGIF, of course, the weekend is upon us. Thank God. Anyway, we are talking about all of the changes that are going on in the Trump campaign now. Paul Manafort earlier today announced his resignation from the campaign. And former Breitbart executive Steve Bannon and Republican strategist and pollster Kellyanne Conway is now the new campaign manager. And like I was saying before the break, I think that Kellyanne is going to be a fantastic addition to the campaign because she's very outspoken. She says what she thinks, and she knows what she's doing. And I think it's going to be very cool to have her on board. Very quickly before we move on, I'll get to the poll numbers here. These, of course, as always, are from Real Clear Politics, and the Real Clear Politics poll average right now nationally has Hillary Clinton at 47.2%, Donald Trump at 41.2%. That is a spread of 6 points. And that's, you know, maybe by poll standards, it's outside the margin of error, but it's not completely not doable to turn it around. It's not that big of a spread. Some battleground state numbers here. Virginia, Clinton 49, Trump 37.8. She's up by 11 in Virginia. Virginia is, they're really trying to turn Virginia blue. And that's basically what's going on there with Governor Terry McAuliffe and that gang. But New Hampshire, Clinton 45, Trump 35.7. That has him up at by 9.3. And we know that New Hampshire is kind of a weird state too. People are and when I say weird, I mean that they're pretty independent. They pretty much they do what they want. They're not, you can't really peg them as New England liberals. Georgia, Hillary Clinton 43.3, Donald Trump 43. In Missouri, Hillary Clinton 39, Donald Trump 44.3. So he's up here in Missouri by 5 points. That's great. I'm glad to see that. I hope it hope the spread goes up. Colorado, Hillary Clinton, 46.4, Trump, 35.6. Colorado at this point is kind of purple. It's a toss-up, but Hillary Clinton is up by 10.8 there in Colorado. Nevada, Hillary, 43.3, Trump, 41. So she's only up by 2.3 percentage points. In Arizona, Clinton, 43, Donald Trump, 43.3. So he's only, again, that's well within the margin of error. He's only up by 0.3 percentage points. So it is not the debacle that the mainstream media, and even a lot of times on Fox News. I mean, they're I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but Fox News is they've kind of got a Chicken Little mentality at this point. They really, you know, they're constantly, when they're talking about Donald Trump, I mean, they'll get their Hillary Clinton digs in, but it's this whole, you know, the sky is falling mentality when it comes to Donald Trump. Everything is going wrong. Everything is haywire. Everything is in chaos. And I don't think that they are painting an accurate portrayal of what is actually going on in the Trump campaign. But as I said at the top of the show, Donald Trump is in Louisiana today. He is talking to flood victims. He is, I'm sure, surveying damage. And not sure if he will be making a speech or some kind of remarks. I would assume that he will be doing so, and we will be hearing about that later on today. Where is the president, you ask? Well, I think by all accounts, the president is on a golf course. Shocking, I know. And Hillary Clinton is taking her weekends off now because apparently she does not work weekends anymore. And but, you know, the media has not talked a lot about all of this horrific flooding that has gone on in Louisiana in the past few weeks. There was about 40,000 people, I think, who were out of their homes. I believe 11 or 12 dead. I mean, it's bad. It's pretty bad. And I don't know if everybody remembers back when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans back in 2005. And, you know, George Bush could have been rescuing puppies out of floodwaters, and nobody would have acknowledged it. But one of the people that was the most outspoken about what they thought was George Bush's ineptitude, what they saw as his incompetence and ineptitude, was then-Senator Barack Obama. This is from the Washington Examiner, and it says, President Obama is under fire for golfing on posh Martha's Vineyard. Don't you have to say it like the locals? Martha's Vineyard, or what? Don't they just call it the Vineyard? The president and his family are vacationing on the Vineyard during a week of anguished cries for help from flooded Louisiana. This is the same then Senator Obama who ripped former President George Bush 11 years ago when he was seen as slow to react to Hurricane Katrina and the devastation that brought to New Orleans. Obama, who had just returned from New Orleans, preached on the Senate floor about Bush's poor reaction to similar cries for help during Katrina. His quote from the Senate floor at that time was this, quote, I can say from personal experience how frustrating, how unconscionable it is that it has been so difficult to get medical supplies to those in need quickly enough. This is from a transcript from the House floor. He went on to say from the Senate floor. It goes on to say, indeed, he said, if there's any bright light that has come out of this disaster, it's the degree to which ordinary Americans have responded with speed and determination, even as their government has responded with unconscionable ineptitude. Campaigning for president a few years later, he also slammed George Bush for flying Air Force One over the floods. Quote, we can talk about what happened for 2 days in 2005, and we should. We can talk about levees that couldn't hold, a FEMA that seemed not incompetent but paralyzed and powerless, about a president who only saw people from the window of an airplane instead of down here on the ground. It goes on to say that Obama has received a briefing, oh, that's nice, on Louisiana flooding that has killed over a dozen, and his Homeland Department secretary is visiting the area. But Obama hasn't broken from his long vacation to even make a flyover to the flooded state. On Thursday, the White House media pool reported that the president went golfing again. Shocking, I know. So where is the president, you might ask? Where is Hillary Clinton, you might ask? Well, I found yesterday, this is a very interesting, it's an editorial, and it is from a local newspaper. I believe this is from the Baton Rouge area of Louisiana. This is a paper called The Advocate, and the title is Our Views, Vacation or Not, A Hurting Louisiana Needs You Now, President Obama. And it says, now that the floodwaters ravaging Louisiana are receding, it's time for President Barack Obama to visit the most anguished state in the Union. Last week, as torrential rains brought death, destruction, and misery to Louisiana, the president continued his vacation at Martha's Vineyard, a playground for the posh and well-connected. We've seen this story before in Louisiana, and we don't deserve a sequel. In 2005, a flyover by a vacationing President George W. Bush became a symbol of official neglect for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. The current president was among those making political hay out of Bush's aloofness. Sometimes presidential visits can get in the way of emergency response, doing more harm than good. But we don't see that as a factor now that floodwaters are subsiding, even if at an agonizing pace. It's past time for the president to pay a personal visit, showing his solidarity with suffering Americans. Like his predecessors, Obama has no doubt discovered that crises keep their own calendar, even when commanders-in-chief are trying to take some time off the clock. It's an inconvenience of the presidency, but it's what chief executives sign up for when they take the oath of office. And if the president can interrupt his vacation for a swanky fundraiser for fellow Democrat Hillary Clinton, as he did on Monday, then surely he can make time to show up for a catastrophe that's displaced thousands. So let's recap here, shall we? On Monday of this week, President Obama managed to tear himself away from the swanky vineyard, Martha's Vineyard, to attend a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton. But he has yet to show up in Louisiana, where thousands of people are now calling shelters their home because their homes are no longer standing or uninhabitable. This editorial from The Advocate goes on to say, the optics of Obama golfing while Louisiana residents languished in floodwaters was striking. It evoked the precedent of the passive federal response to the state's agony in 2005, a chapter of history no one should ever repeat. The president acted prudently in officially declaring a disaster for the flooded part of the state, a key step in advancing federal aid. We've been heartened so far by the active involvement of Craig Fugate, head of Federal Emergency Management Agency, a far cry from FEMA's hapless Michael Brown in the days after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson was slated to visit Louisiana today, this is an article from yesterday, to assess the damage. But a disaster this big begs for the personal presence of the president at ground zero. In coming here, the president can decisively demonstrate that Louisiana's recovery is a priority for his administration and the United States of America. The president's vacation is scheduled to wrap up on Sunday, but he should pack his bags now and pay a call on communities who need to know that in a national catastrophe, they are not alone. The president's presence is always late, is already late to this crisis, but it's better late than never. And I think they're absolutely right, the good people at The Advocate. And, of course, our thoughts and our prayers and of course, our help and anything that we can possibly do for the victims of the Louisiana flooding, it absolutely, without a doubt, it has to be a horrendous, horrible thing to go through. And but, you know, here's my thing. And this may be, well, you can call it a lot of things, I guess, what I'm going to say here. But we have a president here right now who he's vacationing on the vineyard. He is not running for reelection. And so, therefore, he really does not, well, let's put it the way it is. He doesn't care about people who may or may not vote for him. So this is not a priority to show up in a crisis and be it for a photo op or whatever the case may be. And, you know, the other thing, and I could be wrong about this, but I think we've all seen pictures of all of the horrific flooding from the Baton Rouge area that is going on right now. You know, we see all of the pictures of people getting water out of their homes. They are getting what valuables and what things of a sentimental nature that they can salvage out of their homes. They're getting furniture, anything that they can possibly salvage and get out of their flood ravaged homes. That's what they're doing. And so you're seeing all of those pictures that you see in times like that from anywhere. But here's the thing that I've noticed. Here's a thing that you see, and there's a thing that you don't see. And the thing that I have seen myself, and again, I'm not going to say that this is exclusive. I know that there have been people from every walk of life who have been affected by this flooding. So I'm going to say that off the top. But the one thing that I notice, I do notice about all of the pictures that I have seen and the pictures that I saw on the website of the Advocate, of this new newspaper from the editorial that I just read, all of the people, for the most part, all of the people in these pictures are white. Here's the thing that you don't see in these pictures. The thing that you don't see are people who are standing, sitting, whatever it is, on rooftops. It may be on just a rooftop in general that they've managed to get to. It could be the rooftop of their own house. What you don't see is people standing on rooftops like you did back in 2005 with signs that say, "Help me, help us." And who were the people who were standing on those rooftops? Who were the people that were standing on those islands of rooftops and that were not covered by water with signs that said, "Help us"? For the most part, they were all black. For the most part, they were all African Americans. So I'm going to lay those facts out there. You can do with them what you will. I can only talk about what I've seen and what I haven't seen and what we know of the track record on racial issues, on race relations from this president. And I don't know about anybody else. Again, I will only speak for myself here. I threw those facts out, and you can think about them and form an opinion about them however you like. But I think that it's pretty clear that you can connect the dots. You can do the math. Is quite clear why Barack Obama, and for that matter, why Hillary Clinton are not in Louisiana. Hillary Clinton has already stated that she does not need, I believe the statement that I saw yesterday, might have been on Drudge, was that she does not need the vote of white men to win. Do the math, connect the dots, and then make up your minds. I'm going to take another short break. We will be right back, of course. This is such a college frat boy story, but I guess we have to talk about it. The American swimmers who fabricated the whole robbery story there in Rio during the Olympics, there has been some resolution to those cases. We will talk about that. If I possibly can, like I said earlier, according to a Zogby poll, Hillary Clinton's health is becoming an issue. I've got a ton of stuff here. Probably not going to get to it all, but I will do my best. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Shout out, everybody, Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Check it out. tons of cool stuff there, too. I will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, folks. Kevin Jackson here, host of The Kevin Jackson Show. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to fun, exciting oldies, The Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-398-8309, 800-398-8309, 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
We're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. You are also listening, if you are listening, to Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Check it out, Red Nation Rising Radio, rednationrising.us. Check it out. We were talking about the horrible flooding in Louisiana. We've been talking Trump, not shakeups, but beef ups, as brand new Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway would say, beef ups in the Trump campaign. And, you know, this is a story that has been going on all week with the Olympics. And I'm sure that everybody heard about the American swimmer, Ryan Lochte, who stated earlier, maybe late last week, earlier this week, that claimed that he had been robbed at gunpoint while in Rio. Well, that story has quickly fallen apart, and two of the other swimmers that were with him, they were on their way home, I believe, yesterday, you know, time difference and everything, possibly today. They were pulled off a plane earlier to testify about the robbery to Brazilian police, and they admitted to the story being made up. The lawyer for a third swimmer said he would make a $10,000 payment and leave Brazil later today. The Brazilians are of course and rightly so, they are they were pretty shocked, and they're pretty ticked off about this story, because it of course cast a negative shadow on their city, and for all of the things that people had said about Rio de Janeiro before the Olympics started, and it kind of overshadowed athletes who have virtually spent their entire lives, you know, getting ready and training to compete for these events. And these events that happened pretty quickly, that hours after police had announced that Ryan Lochte and three of his teammates had not been held at gunpoint after a night of partying, as they had claimed. Instead, Brazilian police said the men, while intoxicated, vandalized a gas station bathroom and were questioned by armed guards before they paid for the damage and left. Of course, this was also a huge embarrassment for the U.S. Olympic team. And again, it was the Brazilians were kind of hacked off, because they wanted to show that it was first time that these games could be hosted in Latin America safely and without incident. And the quote here from the civil police chief, Fernando Veloso, said, quote, "No robbery was committed against these athletes. They were not victims of the crimes they claimed." Two of the swimmers, Gunnar Bentz and Jack Conger, were whisked through the airport security and onto a plane home Thursday night. Their attorney insisted they had nothing to do with Ryan Lochte's story. Ryan Lochte himself had left earlier in the week, and really by him doing that, really kind of made it look like that he was kind of throwing his teammates under the bus. But this is from the lawyer for Gunnar Bentz and Jack Conger, who are also Olympic swimmers on the Olympic swim team. This is a statement from their lawyer, Sergio Riera. He told the Associated Press that Bentz and Conger, quote, "were heard only as witnesses. They did not make any untruthful testimony. They did not lie in their statements." A lawyer for the fourth swimmer, James Fagan, said early Friday that the athlete had reached an agreement with a judge in which he planned to donate 35,000 Brazilian reals, I guess is how you pronounce it, which comes out to roughly $10,800, American dollars, to a, quote, institution, and leave the country later that day. They did not specify what the term institution meant, if that meant a charity or what that was exactly. But for the most part, the Brazilian police have finished their probe. But this report goes on to say that the case may be far from settled, that police have said that they are considering charges of falsely reporting a crime and destruction of property, both of which carry up to 6 months in jail or a fine. It goes on to say the saga began when Lochte said he, Conger, Bentz, and Fagan were held at gunpoint and robbed several hours after the last Olympic swimming races had ended. Of course, the claim began to unravel when police could not find anything to substantiate their claim. Security video reviewed by police confirmed that the athletes vandalized parts of the gas station, which led to an encounter with the gas station employees. The video shows one of the swimmers pulling a sign off a wall and dropping it onto the ground. A gas station worker arrives, and other workers inspect the damage. Also, Veloso said the swimmers broke a door, a soap dispenser, and a mirror. The swimmers eventually talk with gas station workers, and their cab leaves. In another sequence, the swimmers appear to briefly raise their hands while talking to someone and sit down on a curb. After a few minutes, the swimmers stand up, appear to exchange something, perhaps money, as police said, with one of the men. Police said that the swimmers had been unable to provide key details in early interviews, saying that they had been intoxicated. The police said that they grew suspicious when security video showed the swimmers returning to the athlete's village wearing watches, which obviously more than likely would have been taken during a holdup. And Lochte's account of what happened, quote, "We got pulled over in the taxi, and these guys came out with a badge, a police badge, no lights, no nothing, just a police badge, and they pulled us over." This is what Ryan Lochte told the Today Show the morning after the incident. "They pulled out their guns. They told the other swimmers to get down on the ground. They got down on the ground. I refused. It was like we didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not getting on the ground. And then the guy pulled out his gun. He cocked it, put it to my forehead, and said, get down, and I put my hands up. I was like, whatever. He took our money. He took my wallet. He left my cell phone. He left my credentials." Let's see. It goes on to say here that David Fleischer, who is a political scientist at the University of Brasilia, says that apparently Brazil has a history of people committing crimes while impersonating police. But the outrage was evident Thursday as onlookers shouted liars and shameful at Benson Conger as they left the police station where they had given statements. Lochte and the other swimmers could face sanctions from USA Swimming, including fines or suspension. The group, as well as Olympic officials, publicly expressed disappointment and said they would further examine the matter. The statement from the U.S. Olympic Committee is this, quote, "We apologize to our hosts in Rio and the people of Brazil for this distracting ordeal in the midst of what should rightly be a celebration of excellence," unquote. So these idiots who go out partying after their prospective races, what it seems like maybe what happened according to the video is that maybe some sort of security guards, police, or somebody showed up once that they were called by the gas station employees, and so maybe at that point that's when they thought at that point they could make it look like that somebody was holding them up. But you know, it's just and I heard people say this. It makes the stereotype of the ugly American, of Americans who just go into a foreign country and think they can just run around and do whatever the hell they want. And it just reinforces that stereotype. And the fact that they are Olympic athletes makes it that much worse, because those athletes are they're there to do nothing but compete in their respective sports. And it really does shed a bad light, and it's not fair to their fellow athletes. So, you know, it sounds like to me, I don't know about these other three guys, but it sounds like Ryan Lochte maybe was kind of the ringleader in all of this. I hope that he is not planning on competing in another Olympics or trying to get any endorsements or anything, because I think that, well, that could be a little hard for him. But very quickly before we have to get out of here, as I was saying, that according to a new Zogby poll, that Hillary Clinton's health is emerging as an issue in the presidential campaign. And while Trump is laying out his plan to defeat ISIS, whose growth he has pinned on the Obama administration, he has gone on to say that Mrs. Clinton does not have the mental or physical ability to make the decisions to destroy the terror group and its ongoing spread throughout the world. This is a quote from John Zogby, pollster John Zogby, quote, "I am not sure the mainstream media is ready to pick up on the mention of Hillary's questionable health, although maybe they should." And, you know, things have been leaking out little by little by little. And so the findings that John Zogby is getting from his polls are that this is becoming becoming an issue in the campaign. It'll be interesting to see if just how big an issue it becomes. I think that maybe Donald Trump should keep mentioning it, because you know, it is an issue. You have to be physically and mentally fit to hold this office. Zogby went on to say, quote, "They shouldn't go about measuring the drapes at the White House just yet. Donald Trump may be down, but definitely not out." Well, you know, he might be out, but, you know, we don't know. Very quickly, before I have to get out of here. cat let a particular house guest know who was boss by trapping the visitor in a bathroom with the help of shrieking meows and a cold stare. Drew Alexander was staying at a friend's house when he encountered the meanest cat in America. "I just backed up and he cornered me back into the bathroom," he told Inside Edition. "He let me know I was not welcome. The cat, named Toulouse, apparently doesn't like strangers." To escape, Alexander said, "I started throwing toiletries out of the bathroom to the other side of the room to distract him, and I finally slipped out." The video of the incident was actually shot 2 years ago, but has now gone viral after making the rounds on social media. "We're cool now," Alexander said. "We've hung out, and he lets me pet him, but he still won't let me in that room. It's his favorite room." Cat behavior expert Rita Reimers watched the video and told Inside Edition, "Ideally, what I would have done in that case was sit down on the floor and encourage the cat to come over by me in his own time. Let him take his time and give him a reason to come towards you." Well, you know, for people who cats aren't their favorite, I don't know. I think I know a lot more people who would just keep throwing stuff at the cat because, well, you know, not me. I love cats. I'm a cat lover. I'm an animal lover. I'm a dog lover. But, wow. Anyway, with that, I am out of here. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. Please go to politichicks.com. Please go to theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Also, facebook.com/BeckyNoble and on Twitter @PatriotWitch. Be sure to check out Red Nation Rising Radio Network today at 6 p.m. Eastern and tomorrow, Saturday, at 2 p.m. Eastern for a rebroadcast of Conservative Cauldron Radio and, of course, for lots of other fantastic stuff, too. Everyone, have a great weekend. I will see you next time.
Get up. If you're tired of them running.